Germany's biggest party is to decide whether to form a coalition government.
It's looking more likely that the deal will go ahead because the alternatives are really unappetising.
Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Rob Young. Good morning. 5 months after inconclusive elections, Angela Merkel is expected to move a step closer to a fourth term running Europe's biggest economy. Prospective cabinet jobs were handed out yesterday. Today, the Christian Democrats will vote on whether to form a coalition with its rival, the Social Democrats. The BBC's Damian McGuinness is in Berlin.
Most observers would say that she's going to get backing today from party members. There are critical voices. You know, more conservative end of the party is still not happy with the coalition deal. They say that losing the finance ministry was a big hit for the centre-right Christian Democrats, and that some of them are still not very happy with Merkel staying as chancellor because, you know, they're not happy with her stance on immigration, for example.
Are some of these cabinet changes in response to the rise of the AfD party, the anti-immigrant, anti-European party, which saw a big rise in its support in the election?
It's on all sorts of issues, from whether it be allowing a vote on gay marriage to go across to scrapping nuclear energy. But it's more to do with what sort of a party is this centre-right Christian Democrats? Is it more centrist or is it more conservative?
Today's vote is not the final word on whether this coalition happens, is it? The Social Democrats have to approve this as well. Will they?
This vote is looking really tight because a lot of those grassroots supporters are really wary of becoming again the junior partner in a coalition deal with the centre-right. And a lot of them will vote against this deal. Now, it's looking more likely that the deal will go ahead because the alternatives are really unappetising. And a lot of people would say that would mean fresh elections, which would mean a lot of instability. But it's not a given. We're not going to know that until Sunday, when the results are announced of this postal vote.
Damian McGuinness, let's do the numbers. The main markets in Asia and Europe are in the green. Germany's DAX is up 54 points, that's 0.44%. Japan's Nikkei closed up 261 points, 1.19% higher. Now, if you thought Nokia, remember that, was just a name consigned to history, well, think again. It's one of a number of companies unveiling new smartphones at the World Mobile Congress in Spain. The BBC's technology correspondent, Rory Kethlen-Jones, is there.
Last year, they unveiled a retro phone and it got everybody talking about the company again. So this year, they tried the same trick with the Nokia 8110, sometimes called the banana phone. They brought it back with a new twist. They've actually put some quite modern features in, including the Google Assistant.
And we know that smartphone sales fell towards the end of last year for the first time since smartphones were invented. Why are sales falling?
It's getting harder and harder to differentiate the new ones from the old ones. Consumers are looking at the prices and going, do I really need to upgrade every year?
So how are the companies trying to overcome that?
The giant of the industry is, of course, Samsung. It put on an enormously lavish show last night, an augmented reality trick to let you look at their new phone, the Galaxy S9. Will that be enough to convince people that they desperately need this new phone? Well, Samsung has got the marketing weight to make that phone a success, I'm sure. But others, I think they're going to struggle.
Rory Kethlen-Jones. Now, Ethiopia is building a huge dam across the Blue Nile. The aim is to produce much-needed hydroelectric power, but Egypt is worried the dam will reduce its supply of fresh water. Caught in the middle is Sudan. From there, the BBC's Africa correspondent, Alistair Leithead.
Well, I'm on a boat in Khartoum, chugging up the Blue Nile. This river started many miles upstream in Ethiopia, and this is the point where it merges with its other great tributary, the White Nile. And you can actually see where they join because the White Nile's moving faster. They merge together and head north up towards Egypt. That noise you can hear is a pump taking the water up to irrigate the fields. That's the main use of the Nile here in Sudan. And Sudan is home to one of the most impressive irrigation projects in the world. The government-owned Jazeera Schemes, a vast patchwork of fields and canals, developed more than 100 years ago to grow cotton for northwest England's textile industry.
I think it is the largest irrigation scheme in the world, irrigated by...
The scheme's Secretary-General, Mohamed Abdul-Majid Koko, said the new dam Ethiopia is building will give the fading gem a much-needed boost. Sudan's had a decades-long deal with Egypt over water use, but it's now at odds with its old ally over how much water the country can use. Sudan is now supporting Ethiopia for the cheap power its dam will provide and how it will regulate the river's flow. The project's run by a conglomerate called the Dahl Group. Its owner is Sudan's richest man, Osama Daoud. We met on his golf course in Khartoum.
For Sudan, it's wonderful. I mean, it's really the best thing that has happened for a long time. And I think the combination of energy and regular water levels is a great blessing.
What do you think about the row between Ethiopia and Egypt over this dam?
The Nile is the lifeline of Egypt. They're very concerned about anything to do with that water.
Diplomacy is the key to resolving this row over water, but it's not going so well. Talks over the dam keep collapsing. Egypt's always had political control over the Nile, and now that Ethiopia's ambition is changing the balance, they're angry. Some even talk of war.
Alistair Leithhead. And finally, from today, Starbucks in London will charge 7 cents for a coffee cup to go. Britain throws away 2.5 billion disposable cups every year. In London, I'm Rob Young with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
Hey there, I'm Bridget, co-host of Million Bazillion, Marketplace's podcast for kids about money. I want to tell you about our email newsletter course, Million Bazillion Academy. In this new and improved course, we'll help your kids learn about crypto, credit cards, and inflation in just 6 weeks. Each lesson comes with a podcast episode, a fun cartoon, discussion questions, and an activity that lets kids apply what they're learning in the real world. You can start at any time and work at your own pace. Sign up today at marketplace.org/academy.